This is Pastor Warren, and I want to welcome you to this first in the series on a survey of the Old Testament. I'm teaching this in a weekly class, Bible study at our church, Beverly Hills Community Church, and some people sometimes can't make a class. So I wanted to make these recordings so that those who miss a class could catch up. And of course, I also want to share this information with anybody else who might be interested and just getting an overview of the Old Testament. I want to start off by reading two passages of Scripture, one from the Old and one from the New Testaments. The first one is Joshua 1:8 in the Old Testament, where it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success." That, of course, was referring to the only book of the Bible that existed at that time, which was the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses, first five books of our Bibles. And so God told Joshua to not let that book of the law depart from his mouth, but to meditate on it day and night, and that way he'd be successful in all that he was called to do. The second passage is from Romans chapter 15, verse 4, where it says, "Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." So that's the Apostle Paul saying, basically, that what was written in the former days, that means the Old Testament, those things were written for our instruction, and they help us, they encourage us so that we can have hope. So that just shows you the importance of all of Scripture. Now, the Bible's made up of two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament, or you could say the Old. Those things were written for our instruction, and they help us, they encourage us so that we can have hope. So that just shows you the importance of all of Scripture. Now, the Bible's made up of two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament, or you could say the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Jewish people, of course, don't like us calling it Old. We can call it the First Covenant, but be that as it may, there are two covenants made between God and mankind. We live in the day of the New Covenant, the New Testament. So the question often arises, do we still need the Old? And there are even famous preachers nowadays, for example, Charles Stanley's son, Andy, who says we really shouldn't spend much time in the Old because it confuses people and so forth. There's some stumbling stones there for modern day people. But folks say, why do we need the Old Testament? Some people find it to be very confusing and they bog down trying to read it, or they feel they're not getting anything practical out of it. I've heard a lot of people who say they don't like to read the Old Testament. And of course, there are others of us who say they only like to read the Old, they don't like to read the New. So, you know, you hear both sides. But many people do find the Old Testament to be confusing, and they do get kind of lost in it. And others question why they should read all these ancient histories. Another big issue is a lot of people say, how come the God of the Old Testament seems so different from the God of the New? The God of the Old Testament, for example, you know, he seems harsh. He sends these fierce judgments. He orders the annihilation of whole peoples. And so some modern people say, why should we read a book that presents that kind of a God? We live in the New Testament now, right? And so Jesus is our God, and why should we learn this old stuff? And so today, in this first way, I want to try to answer some of these questions. First of all, let's start off by asking this. What's the Old Testament really about? See, there's so much in the Old Testament that I really believe you can miss the forest for the trees. In other words, there are so many themes and issues in the Old Testament that it would be easy to fail to understand the overarching purpose, the overarching message. I mean, you can find just about any subject you might want to find in the 23,145 verses of the Old Testament. And you could come up with your own applications or interpretations for all of those verses. So it would be easy to just kind of lose yourself there and miss what the primary point of the book really is. Now, I don't want to diminish the importance of any of those various themes in the Old Testament, all that teaching, all that different personal application that we could make out of the Old Testament. I would like to go over every single one of those verses with all of you. And I've read the Old Testament through every year for over 44 years. And I get something new out of it all each time I read it. But at the same time, I know it's important to remember what the main point really is. And I always want to, you know, remind people of that. Because I think that the main point of the Old Testament is the same of the New Testament. What the Bible is about is humanity's relationship with God. It's how you relate to God. It's who is God? Who are you? How do you know him? How do you relate to him? That's what it's all for, right? That's what it was written for. And because of that, I would say further that we can also say the whole Bible is about the Messiah. Somebody put it this way. Both Testaments, to sum up the theme of both Testaments, you could use three words. Messiah is coming, right? Because in the Old Testament, he's prophesied and predicted in his first coming. And in the New Testament, his second coming is predicted. So you could say that. And when we talk about Messiah, we're talking about God's Savior. So he's the one who ultimately makes relationship with God possible. He is God's salvation. Luke 2:30 points that out. That's where the old man Simeon took the baby Jesus in his arms in the temple when Joseph and Mary brought him there to dedicate him. And after he saw Jesus, he said, "Lord, now I can die in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation." So he saw Jesus, and that was God's salvation. That was God's plan to save the world. And so you could say that the main point of both Testaments is the Messiah and how the Messiah brings us into relationship with God. And so the Old Testament very definitely teaches that. It's important to recognize. See, like in the New Testament, for example, in the book of Luke, chapter 24, it has the story of two disciples who walked to a place called Emmaus, not far from Jerusalem, and tells about how Jesus came and walked along with them. And they were sad, you know, because the Messiah, they thought he was Messiah, but he had died. They didn't recognize him as he walked with them. And so they were very sad about the crucifixion of the Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Why are you sad?" And they explain, you know, it's because, you know, Jesus died and we thought he was the Savior. And the New Testament there in Luke 24, 13 through 32, tells us that Jesus said these guys were foolish. He said, "You guys are foolish. You don't understand the scriptures." And then it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." That's Luke 24:27. And in verse 4, things concerning himself. That's Luke 24:27. And in verse 44, he expands this to include the Psalms as well. So why am I bringing that up? Well, see, in that one passage, Jesus demonstrated that in a very real sense, the Old Testament was all about him. And he used the Old Testament to teach these disciples about himself. In fact, you know, if you study the book of Acts, you'll see that the apostles and the early Christians, they used only the Old Testament to preach Jesus. Let's face it, there was no New Testament yet in the early days. And yet that didn't hinder them from preaching Christ at all. They used the Old Testament to teach their fellow Jews about Jesus, the Messiah, and to explain God's way of salvation to the people. See, Jesus himself trained them to use the Old Testament because it tells us that he spent some 40 days with them after his resurrection. And he taught them the scriptures. He taught them the Old Testament. And it was sufficient to present salvation. See? Very important. Of course, the message of salvation through Messiah would make no sense at all if you didn't have the background to it, which is what the Old Testament is. It provides the background, right? You couldn't understand salvation if you didn't have the Old Testament. We wouldn't know how we even came to be here without the story of creation. We wouldn't understand our need of salvation if we didn't have the story in Genesis of the fall of Adam and Eve and the fall into sin. We wouldn't know how the various nations came into being without the Old Testament account. And then there are so many things in the Old Testament that foreshadow or illustrate our need for salvation. We will how salvation really works. For example, let me tell you what I mean when I say word picture. I mean, the story of the flood, you know, I believe that's a literal story that actually happened. There was a flood and so forth. But that story is also an illustration of why we need salvation, because in that story, we see the universality of sin. I mean, the whole human race was sinful, and we see God's wrath was against that sin, right? And so he pronounced judgment. And so we see the holiness of God and the wrath of God. We see his severity there, how severe he is, how much he hates sin. But we also see his love and mercy because he had Noah prepare an ark. And so that story is true, and it literally happened in the past, but it's also a prefigurement, if you will, of salvation. It's a picture of the reality of coming judgment and the necessity of a Savior to save us, because we also here on earth today are under the sentence of God's judgment. The Bible tells us he's going to destroy the whole world by fire, and that there's going to come a day of judgment. So all of us have sinned and we're under the wrath of God, and therefore we need salvation. And the Noah's Ark, of course, was built of wood, and people had to choose to get on board that boat by believing what Noah said. They and making a choice, they could have been saved, but of course only 8 people were. Nevertheless, that's a picture of salvation. Christ died on a cross made of wood. And so that cross and the death of Christ there provided salvation for us, just as Noah's Ark provided salvation. See, so it's a picture of our salvation besides just being a literal story. So the Old Testament's recurring theme is of a coming Messiah. And the Old Testament builds the expectation of that. It points toward that in a clear way. And it makes it plain that Messiah would be what Haggai 2:7 calls the desired of all nations. He's the one that was that the nations would look forward to. In Genesis 3:15, we're told that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, right? So that was a picture in the very beginning of the seed of a woman coming someday to deliver man from, you know, his bondage to Satan and to sin and on, and to kind of reclaim what had been lost in the fall. Genesis 12 is where Abraham is called out to be the first one, you know, through whose line the Messiah would come. And then later, Abraham in Genesis 22, he's called to sacrifice his only son on a hill. So that was really a foreshadowing of how God would save mankind through the sacrifice of Messiah. This, I mean, it's a clear picture. Then in the Exodus story, we have the greatest foreshadowing yet of salvation. You know, it's a picture of salvation. God's people are in bondage in Egypt, just as we're all in bondage to sin. God sends a deliverer to bring them out. That was Moses, of course. But then they had to kill a Passover lamb and apply its blood to their doors and the lintel of their doors. And so that's a picture of how we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. And then they come out and they go to Mount Sinai and they're given God's law, which shows God's will for his people and his way of restraining evil. But it also makes them aware of their sinfulness. Then we have the incredible story, the design of the tabernacle. So God says, I want to dwell with you, but he teaches them to make this complicated structure, the tabernacle, which ends up being a real picture of how we can't relate to God because of our sinfulness, and we need a system of sacrifices and priesthood and all that in order to draw near to God. So it's a picture of our salvation. It's a foreshadowing. We have the story of the Promised Land and Joshua, who, by the way, the name Joshua in English is really Yeshua, which is the same name that Jesus would be known by. So Moses, the lawgiver, couldn't take Israel into the Promised Land, but Yeshua was the one who took them in. It all foreshadows, you know, God's work through Christ and how Jesus will bring us into the new heaven and the new earth and into our new Promised Land. And so these things are all in the Old Testament. In the story of David, we have a messianic king, and he's the anointed one from the tribe of Judah. And so David, what does he do? He leads his people to victory and to prosperity. And then he's given the promise that through his line, the heavenly king of all kings, the true Messiah, would someday come. So David was a literal king, but he's also a picture of the coming messianic king. And then when we have the historical books, you know, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and so on, those show the failures of Israel. Even though they knew God, they had his word, they didn't live up to his holy standards. And so they fell away, and that points to the need for a Messiah, and it points to the need for a new and better covenant, because the people, even God's people, could not succeed in living the way they were called to live. And they failed God, and they fell away. And of course, then they had to be banished to Babylon, right? They lost everything. So that shows the inability of humans in their own strength to overcome the devil, to overcome our sinful tendencies and so forth. And then the prophets, major and the minor prophets, they fill in a lot of details about Messiah's coming, his nature, his sacrifice, his work, as well as these prophets calling God's people to repentance to prepare the way for him. So their words painted such a clear picture that no one who was looking would be able to miss God's Savior. There really isn't a single book of the whole Old Testament where God's salvation and his Messiah can't be found. So, you know, it's just extremely important. Why do we need the Old Testament today? Why should we read it? Why should we spend time learning it? Listen to this little saying. I like this, and it's an important one. The New Testament is in the Old concealed, and the Old Testament is in the New revealed. The New is in the Old contained. The Old is in the New explained. Let me repeat that. The New Testament is in the Old concealed. The Old Testament is in the New revealed. The New is in the Old contained. The Old is in the New explained. See, the two covenants totally dovetail and interact with each other. You can't fully understand either one without knowledge of the other. Even the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, is written with a completely Old Testament worldview and background. I mean, it's full of Old Testament types, shadows, and references. And so you don't really get the right picture of Revelation if you don't understand the Old Testament. Did you know there are at least 320 direct Old Testament quotations in the New Testament? And if we consider all the partial quotes, combined quotes, or places where it's not quoted exactly, but it's just alluded to, there are over 1,000. If you want, you can email me. I'll send you a link from Blue Letter Bible where you can find a complete list of all the different references in the New Testament to the Old. Almost every book of the New Testament quotes the Old Testament. 24 of the 39 Old Testament books are quoted. Plus, there are tons of types and shadows in the Old Testament that are manifested and revealed in the New. For example, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was the dwelling place of God. Well, John in the New Testament says that the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. That's John 1:14, using a word that actually, if it was translated literally, would be tabernacled. So you see a direct correlation. In the Old Testament, Israel passed through the Red Sea. Well, in the New Testament, we're baptized into Christ. And we're told that Israel was baptized in the Red Sea, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 10. And so they were baptized in the Red Sea, we're baptized in Christ. In the Old Testament, a lamb was slaughtered and his blood applied to the doors of every Israelite home so the death angel wouldn't come against them and the plagues, you know, of Egypt. In the New Testament, Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So his blood delivers us and protects us from sin and judgment. The Passover meal of the Old Testament becomes the communion meal, which speaks of Christ's incarnation, death, and second coming in the New, right? And the marriage supper of the Lamb that will mark its consummation. So there's just all these connections between Old and New Testament. If you don't know the Old Testament at all, and you read these things, you know, Christ is our Passover Lamb, for example. That won't mean anything to you. You won't understand it. There's so many quotes, so many allusions, types and shadows in the New Testament that are referring to the Old. You just won't get the sense that the original author was trying to convey if you don't know the Old Testament. Sure, if the New Testament was all you had, you could be saved. But what I'm saying is you'd miss a whole lot of detail and clarification. it's only by understanding the Old Testament that we can fully appreciate the New. Because look at, you have to fully appreciate the New. Because look at, you have to understand the fall, for example, and how we got into our current fallen, sinful state. You have to understand how Adam and Eve were banished from the Garden of Eden and how they began to die because of the fall, to understand why we need salvation in Christ. We're all fallen, not just the drug addict or the drunk. We're all fallen. And we have to see those kinds of things. We have to see how even God's chosen people, the Jews, with all the supernatural revelation and direct involvement of God they had in their lives, they failed to live up to God's standards. You have to see that in order to appreciate the need for a new covenant. A covenant of grace, a covenant of forgiveness, a covenant of the Holy Spirit, so that we can overcome what's held us in bondage and defeat. The many stories of the Old Testament illustrate how God works and how he interacts with people, and how the enemy always seeks to thwart his plans, how God's people fail, but how God prevails for his people, and how we need to stay close to him and walk in his ways. What happened to Israel in the physical dimension is often a picture of what happens to us spiritually. In 1 Corinthians 10:11, we're told, in fact, that everything that happened to Israel was written down as an example for us. I mean, what they went through physically, you know, wars, their wanderings, etc., that's what we go through spiritually. The Israelites were delivered from physical bondage in Egypt. We're delivered from spiritual bondage to sin. They were oppressed by a cruel Pharaoh. We're oppressed by the devil. They were brought out of Egypt through the blood of the Passover lamb. We're delivered out of the world by the blood of Jesus. They had to believe God and obey God in order to enter the believe and obey God to enter into the rest of faith. They had physical enemies, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, the Babylonians. We have spiritual ones, demonic forces, temptations, lusts, you know, fears, and such as that. They were taken into captivity again when they were taken to Babylon. We can sometimes fall back into bondage. So you could go on and on with this, but I hope you get the point. All these things in the Old Testament were physical things, but they point towards spiritual realities that we live in the New Testament day. Also, the history books, they're real life illustrations of how God dealt with people and how they responded, whether either well or poorly. The stories are interesting, at least they are to me, to some of us they are. And they don't just tell you how to live, they show you, because you see living examples of people doing what was right and doing what was wrong. When we read the prophets and the historical books, we see how God predicted the future, how he called people to repentance, how he even worked among foreign nations, even in spite of sin and failure, to ultimately accomplish his purposes. So we can find encouragement in that. We're encouraged to trust God to do what he's promised in our lives and in our times. So Romans 15:4, which I started off reading, tells us that our God is a God of patience, endurance, and comfort or encouragement, and he gives those things to us. But how does he do it? Well, the scripture says there, Romans 15:4-5 says that through the scriptures we might have encouragement. See, that definitely includes the Old Testament. That's why it's so important. It encourages us. And besides all this, the Old Testament does contain much that is still applicable and still useful today. It's not irrelevant by any means. I mean, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. When Paul said that, of course, there was no New Testament. You know, keep that in mind. So he was referring primarily to the Old Testament. There was no New Testament. So the Old Testament, not just the New, is profitable and useful for teaching doctrine and reproving, rebuking, correcting, and instructing. I mean, let's face it, the Ten Commandments, they never go out of style. Learning them today is just as valuable as it was back in the Old Testament days. It can keep you from sin. It guides your behavior. It can even bring you to Christ in the first place. If you've ever watched Ray Comfort's YouTube videos, he uses the Old Testament all the time, the Ten Commandments, to lead people to Christ. Plus, there's so much else in the Old Testament. I mean, take Proverbs. You could read one chapter every day of the month, and there's just so much wisdom there. principles of child training, principles of finances, things a father should teach his sons, character that we all need to develop. All of that is still pertinent and applicable for us today. It doesn't go out of style. In the book of Job, we're shown what goes on behind the scenes to cause suffering and pain. That's such a relevant book still today. In the Psalms, we have a fantastic sort of hymn book and worship manual. It's a poetic record of human emotions in the life of a believer. I mean, the Psalms go through the range of emotions, and there's just so much that's good. There's discouragement and despair, and there's hope and promise. See, all of God's word is precious, and it's pertinent. And that includes the Old Testament. So as I wrap up, what can you take from this teaching today? Let me just list five things rapidly. First of all, I hope you will gain an appreciation for all of the Word of God, because it's all inspired and profitable. And you and I need to read it all, and we need to do it in a system. Because it's all inspired and profitable. And you and I need to read it all, and we need to do it in a systematic fashion. Second, I hope you will take from this a clearer understanding of the main message of the Bible. There's a lot of themes there, but the main theme is how human beings can be forgiven of their sins and restored to rightful relationship with God. It's how we overcome sin and the devil and so forth to live as God intends. That's the main point of both testaments. Third, I hope you gain a clearer understanding that salvation is basically all in Christ. He's the message of both testaments. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God but by Him. Number four, I hope that we'll attain a sort of different set of eyeglasses with which to read Scripture. In other words, I hope that if you see what the forest is for, it'll help you to not get lost. Last of all, I just hope that we get a greater appreciation for the richness of Scripture by looking at this, taking this survey of the Old Testament, because we need to remember the New is in the Old concealed. You know, the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old Testament is in the New revealed. The New is in the Old contained. The Old is in the New explained. In other words, the Bible is really like a beautiful tapestry with all the different threads interwoven. These beautiful pictures of Christ woven into the fabric of the Old Testament before He had ever come the first time. God worked that in over millennia of time. He hid it, as it were, hid pictures of Christ there in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, you have these revelations and explanations of things that were in the Old Testament. They're brought out and made more clear and understandable in the New. So it's this interwoven, complex, beautiful tapestry. It's very rich, and I hope that we'll come to appreciate more how that is so as we study these things, because it all dovetails and fits together perfectly. Again, the Old Testament is not irrelevant. It's of great importance, and we need to appreciate the treasure God has given us. Till next time, may the Lord richly bless you.